What's going on, football fans? It's me, J.R. Clark, back again with another Pound for Pound ATL Live, joined as always by my co-host, Jonathan Holder. Jonathan, how are you doing today, sir?
Doing great. Got a short week this week at work.
There you go.
So looking forward to a Friday off and a three-day weekend, and had a decent Easter weekend. So
there you go.
Looking forward to talking some more Falcons football.
There it is. And as y'all can see down at the bottom of the screen, we are joined by a special guest, out of your Falcon Minds own John Yates. John, how are you doing, sir?
Man, I'm doing great, buddy. Always a pleasure to be on with you guys. I appreciate the invite. And it's always fun, especially if we're talking draft, man. Because we know Mike's not too up on the draft. So
one day we will drag Mike into the draft. But see, the problem with Mike is he's just far too positive. And you got to have a willingness to nitpick and tear down, because you got to be able to separate.
You got to be able to say that dude trash.
Right, right. Yeah. And I don't know if Mike's got enough hate in his heart to say that anybody is.
That's true. It takes a while. So I mean, I told him he's just got to pick a team though. He's got to pick a team that's on TV that he can watch week to week and keep up with it, so he can know these players. Because when he on draft night, he's just like looking at everybody else like, is that good?
Is that good?
I'll just say this. Like, if you ask me, like, who's my team in college football, it's Georgia Tech. It has been since I was born. My dad was a Tech fan. We just grew up Tech fans. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy to see, like, hopefully things are turning the corner for them. But, like, even then, I'm not a diehard Tech fan. And I'll just turn on something and watch some SEC team against whoever, or some – I'll just turn on – college, especially now with like YouTube TV, I can have like four different games going on and just like see, is this one doing any good? What's the score over here? And I can just go in between it and see all kinds of different. So you can be a fan without necessarily having a team these days.
For sure.
Yeah. That, I must say, that's the way I do it. I don't necessarily have a team, in which makes it for me enjoyable to watch college football. Because I can just turn on any game and be excited for good play, no matter if it's on defense, offense, doesn't matter, right? I tried early on in my fandom to, root for a college team, and I quickly realized that rooting for a college team and a pro team, that's just too much heartbreak. And that's just too much. Like, that's being pissed off on a Saturday and a Sunday. That's just
– Well,
that's
now, just, now, so what I'll say is – it depends on who you pull for, but unless you're pulling for like Georgia, Alabama, one of the big teams like that. If you're, let's say you pull for, some Big Ten school, whatever, say you pick that team. The good thing about that is, I find that college football a lot of times feels a lot like, Premier League, like when you hear guys talking about Premier League teams, in that most of the teams that are in the Premier League, that their fans understand, we're not ready for a championship. This is not our year. We're, maybe something crazy happens, but their expectation is, let us just get to this point. Let's get a little bit better. Let's get a little bit better. And you'll find that happens a lot more in the college side of things, where the team, unless you're the perennial, like,
well, yeah, unless you're the Bamas or the
powerhouses, most teams are like, I just want to be bowl eligible, man. let's just get to a bowl eligible. Let's go to a bowl somehow. Let's just like give me something. Give me like 6 or 7 wins. 8 wins is like, oh my god, And so it's not quite as heartbreaking if it's not like your team didn't get all the way there.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also you're playing the politics of more so in college football, which is another reason why I had to back out. Now John Yates has got no room to talk. He's, if I'm not mistaken, you're a Bama fan, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Man, yeah. So you've had like, easy
had a good run.
In that aspect.
Had a good run. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but you know, it's since 92 though. I mean, like, so, you know, right. there was, it was like the very end of the Gene Stallings era, and it was bad after that. It wasn't good for a while. So like, you know, but I mean, then I went to Georgia State, and when I was at Georgia State, we didn't have a football team. So we were actually doing the, like, they sent out a survey, like, hey, would you support a football team? Like, hell yeah, bring a football team. Let's go.
Right.
So they didn't actually start the football program until I left. So, I mean, I still root for them. Of course, they're my alma mater. So I went, but you know, they're smaller schools. So
yeah. I was about to say there was, well,
That's what you were talking about, Jonathan. Like, I mean, if we can be bowl eligible, that's fantastic. You know,
yeah. Y'all, hey, look, Georgia State's had a couple good years the last few years.
Yeah, man, and yeah, exactly.
As far as that aspect goes.
Yeah, and getting dude from Georgia now is the new head coach.
Right. The running, was he the running back?
Yeah, I can't think of his name. Right.
Yeah, I don't keep about this too much. Willie Dock kicks us off. He says, the Triple K show featuring Pound for Pound. And that's right. We are Triple Threat. And then, he follows it up with $5 and says, money for the Coach Raw swear jar. Short of the draft, any bargain bin pass rushers we can get? We can get into that here in a few minutes. There are a few out there, some few names that, like, I mean, you still got Calais and Bud that are still out there. But there are a few other ones. But before we get too much and further into it, we might as well, I guess, get into it, right? So, like we said earlier, you know, we got man, I am slipping big time. I don't even have the banner up, John. How'd you let that happen?
There it is. I'm trying to find the free agent tracker thingy.
I got you.
Look, I got y'all beat, man. We've been hit or miss on our shows this last 4 weeks just because we've had a crazy schedule.
Right.
So our last show, we just did a show on Sunday for the heck of it, and we got to underrated, overrated, and realized we did not cover the main topic of the show that we had, like, literally it was like, it's on the screen. It said top, you know, Falcons top 15 team. We didn't even talk about it. Not once.
I
was like, dude, we have to go. So we had to just, So that banner, it's not even, I got you beat on that.
Hey, look, man, me and John had planned on trying to record something to put out for the weekend and just could not get it lined up between schedules with it being, you know, Easter weekend and, you know, families and all that jazz. And it just, so I was like, you know what? I ain't even going to 100% stress on it. At the time I was like the topic that we were going to record on, I said, we can just do it as a segment, on the show. But then, you know, we had some actual things pop off. So, may just save it for this coming week. But to really kick it off, the news broke right before the show started. That Falcons legend has returned.
For realsies this time.
For realsies, the third time's a charm. But no, what we're referring to is right before, I don't know, probably about 5:30 or so, we got a tweet come across talking about the Falcons had removed Eddie Goldman from, you know, retired list, or inactive retired list. And when I first saw that tweet come across, I was like, oh, okay, this is just like some due diligence. We're cleaning up the, you know, back end of the roster. There was a story years ago in baseball where they kept a guy on the roster for 20 or 30 years just so he could get like the insurance or something like that, or just so somebody could get. Anyway, so I was like, maybe it's just something like that. They're just cleaning up the roster. And then 15 minutes after that, John Yates, 15, 20 minutes maybe.
Yeah, something like that.
We got a tweet from Ian Rappaport saying that Eddie Goldman had re-signed with the Atlanta Falcons. And like Willie is saying here, he said, this is an April Fool's joke, right? No, that was yesterday. Yesterday was April Fool's Day. And, you know, yesterday was Berto, are you available? If you are available,
what up, Berto?
I'll send you an invite if you want to jump in. Just anyway, we'll get that in a second. Yeah, that would be fun. So the tweet comes out that he's resigned, and we're like, what the, you know? And sure enough, everybody else starts carrying it. Like the NFL actually puts out an actual story about it. And yeah, he's trying a third attempt. John Boy, what do you think about that?
We talked about it a little bit before the show, and it's like, I'm in agreement with what we said there. If he can, if he actually makes it to the season, that'll be a first. And two, if he can and give us something in, in his role as a nose tackle, then great. Cause we need a nose tackle. We need a big space eating nose tackle. So, we'll see how that goes, but
that's it.
Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you.
Right. Kind of like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know if I can even get, he hadn't played a down since 2021.
Yeah.
Goldman hasn't played since 2021. So that's two full seasons out of the league.
Yep.
Like, what player has ever come back from two full seasons not playing football to actually do it?
Mike Vick.
Yeah. Okay. That's okay.
I mean, well,
all jokes aside, that's
And at least it's, if there's going to be a position to do so, like his particular position where you're literally just there to occupy guys.
Right. Right. I mean, all you got to do is lean on him, right?
As long as he's, continued to work out, kept himself in shape. And but what Chris said, we were just talking about before the show, he said Goldman versus humidity.
That Georgia heat ain't no joke, especially like.
Maybe that's what he's been doing for 2 years. He's been just getting himself, acclimated. It's like, now I'm ready.
Yeah. I'm
ready.
I really honestly wonder, and this is no joke, whatever, but, I honestly wonder the last few years you've run like defensive schemes that may not necessarily had suited a 330-pound, space eating nose tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have Jimmy Lake coming in, like who has worked with guys like Vita Vea and you have the connection with the former Chicago GM that works for us now.
Poles?
No, that's Pace.
Yeah, Ryan Pace. Yeah.
So, like, you have, Pace, who I think, if I'm not mistaken, either drafted him or is at least had tied with him. And somebody said on Twitter that it was a potential, our D-line coach, coached him in Chicago as well. So if that's the case, you have a potential connection there to, guys maybe reaching out to him like, hey dude, we could really use you if you're, if you're willing. So it'll be interesting to see if he actually suits up. Cause I made the joke fully intended, the article that, the Around the Football, or the Football Network put out. NFL Network put out the picture they use is he was in a Chicago uniform. And the joke I made is cause you couldn't get a picture of him in a Falcons uniform.
I don't know. Yeah. I haven't seen it. Yeah.
Cause I don't think he ever put one on.
Maybe a t-shirt.
maybe a workout hoodie or something, but
yeah,
definitely never a uniform. Mm-mm. And so it'll be interesting to see if he actually makes it, into, on the roster through camp or to camp at least.
I would love it if he can legitimately play. That's just one less need that we have to go get right now. So
because right now you're staring down the barrel of Taquan Graham probably being your nose tackle.
Yep.
Or David Onyemata lining up as the zero tech, and I don't think anybody really wanted to live in that world.
Nah.
So let's see here. I'm going to see if he's ready. Give me a thumbs up if you're ready, Berto. There he is.
Hey.
Let's go.
What up, man?
Fellas? What's going on, man?
Oh, living the dream, having some fun.
Living the dream. That's it, man.
It's a surprise Berto appearance.
That's right.
Damn, man. It's been tough. It's been tough to do these shows, man. It's been real hectic.
Oh, dude, yeah, I hear that. Like
everybody, man, everybody's schedule life has been crazy recently.
Yeah, it has definitely been nuts. Like, you know,
dang those real jobs.
Yeah, like the real jobs and dang you families, right?
Oh, man. Now, I tried to talk to my boss and be like, I need a little bit of extra time to do my show,
right?
Work out something here, and they were just like.
Huh?
No.
Huh?
I'm like, how much does it pay you? Oh, nothing really, but you know.
Yeah, like nothing. It's just, it's fun. It's my hobby. I like doing it. You ought to see the looks. You ought to see the looks I get come if they do it again this year. Like it's like mid May or whatever when they do the practice on a Friday at the stadium at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna dip out early. Everybody in my work is like, what? You're gonna go watch a practice,
crazy, man.
Yeah.
It's essential, damn it. They got to understand it's the Falcons. We have
to. I mean, that's the only time I can go to, like, I can legitimately go to Mercedes-Benz Stadium and get into the club.
Yeah, like, right. That is the only, like, yeah, the club section is, that's the only time I can get in there for sure. So, Berto, we were just covering the return of Falcons legend Eddie Goldman. what was that reaction for, Berto?
Dude, I put this on Twitter, man, stop playing with my emotions. Is this April Fool's or is this real? Is this legit? Oh, it's crazy.
So outside of like the slight disbelief, what is your opinion of somebody coming back who has not taken a snap in 2 years? Like, what is the like actual legitimacy of him being able to play in your mind?
I slim to none. You know, what football shape are you in? Really, where's your mental space? I mean, you've taken breaks on two separate years because of said things, you know, mental and body, because the toll you know, the beatdown that he's taken. He plays a very, very tough position, nose tackle position. So what really can he offer right now? So I really would even struggle offering him a contract, A, B, and even a roster spot on, you know, to a guy like potentially like an Albert Huggins who's still lingering out there, you know, that can come in and fill that void. So I think that Eddie's back and Atlanta granted that just maybe out of some respect, possibly. I mean, I don't know. It's just too tough to call. But my opinion is I wouldn't put any value into it, man. I don't even see him sticking around, to be honest with you, man. It could be he could be a casualty before you know it.
Yeah.
Well, the problem is he's a nose tackle, and we kind of don't really have one of those. So
yeah, but do we actually? I mean, even though we're in this 3-4 base and seeing how Coach Ron ran it last year, is nose tackle really a priority? Seeing how he used Kobe Turner, how he used, you know, different skills, different guys with certain skill sets, you know, they didn't have a dominant nose tackle. And this is the thing that I like to tell people, is like, wow, how funny was it to hear somebody else's name other than Aaron Donald leading the Rams in sacks, and that was Colby Turner and Bryant Young. So, you know, Coach Rod definitely did the best he could with what he had and with those rookies specifically, and he put them in fantastic situations to succeed. So is nose tackle really a premium for the Falcons? I don't know. That's debatable too.
It's really going to depend on like how much flavor or whatever that Jimmy Lake is pushing. Because if you go back and watch the Washington tape when Lake was the defensive coordinator and then the short period of time that he was the head coach, you know, they did have a big space eating nose tackle. You know, and so is that something that Lake is going to be, you know, looking for? But I agree with you. If you watch the tight fronts that Raheem deployed the last, you know, 2 years in out there in LA, then no, that's a four-man front, you know, with, you know, a lot of times with an outside linebacker, you know, overhang as that fifth guy. So who knows if he'll, like you said, if he'll make it. I found it to be absolutely hilarious that that was part of the news that broke today, is that Eddie Goldman was coming out of retirement again.
What we don't know is that they actually were going to announce it yesterday. They had everything ready to go. But they're like, if we do it today,
nobody's going to believe it. Yeah, Tony Wright even says, he goes, I thought it was an April Fool's joke when I first heard the news. Right. Not just, not you, Tony. But like everybody did. It was crazy.
You know, It would almost benefit him, though, too. I mean, if he's, you know, I mean, assuming he's in football shape or gets in football shape, the fact mm-hmm. that we'd only be in base 3-4 very minimal time anyway. So, like, that would benefit him because he wouldn't be on the field as much, technically. But it all comes down to the price because, like Berta said, if it's not a premium, you don't want to pay too much for somebody that's not on the field that much.
You shouldn't be – like, with Goldman, you shouldn't be paying him no more than the vet minimum at this juncture.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely.
Like he's going to have to at least play a year before I sign him up. And somebody was asking – how old was it? Willie Dock was asking, how old is Goldman? Tony answered it, and I looked it up before the show. He's 30.
Mm-hmm.
So,
crazy, isn't it?
I mean, you could theoretically get, you know, a couple years out of him as far as that goes. But Josh brings up a good point. He says, we still have Taquan Graham, Kentavious Street, and now Goldman. I don't think we take a defensive tackle in the draft unless Sweat falls. Here's the deal. Like, this is something we can like transition into as far as like topics go. Let's hit the right button. Is the draft big board. I thought this was going to be an interesting topic, and these next few weeks are going to be very interesting because up to these past two drafts, we have not went into the draft. We, as in the Falcons, or Terry Fontenot has not went into the draft with a glaring need. Right now, sitting here April 2nd, if we were to construct a big board of needs, there are some pretty glaring needs. So, like, I want to, Jonathan, what do you think, like, in your opinion, what is, like draft big board need number one? Like, you've got to come out of the draft, preferably in the first to second round with this position.
You gave me the easy question. I mean,
well, we're going to start. Like, we're going to go down. Like, I'm going to let you start. And we're just going to roll right on around everybody.
I mean, it's a toss up between edge and cornerback. Like, that's your like number one need coming into this draft. I don't, you know, some people, you know, I'm not, if we come out of it with Joe Alt at 8, or something like that. I'm not going to hate it because, I mean, I'm always down for some more offensive linemen and making sure that offensive line is good into the future. But, I mean, if we're just looking at glaring needs, offensive line is set. They're going to be one of the very few offensive lines that have probably started the same amount of guys in most, like, two or three years straight in most instances. So, at the end of the day, I don't think offensive line is a glaring need. I think it's edge, cornerback. Those are your edge two most glaring glaring needs.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might say safety, but I think Grant, while he's not the greatest guy back there, I think if you do things around him, I think you can live with him. I just don't think he's going to set the world on fire or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But you can live with him. I don't. What you have opposite Terrell right now, I don't know. Maybe they feel like they can, but I like looking at it on paper, I don't think you can live with that. And the same thing at edge.
Yates, what do you think? You're the number one, like you've got to come out of this draft, preferably in the first round, as we sit here on April 2nd, like, what is the thing that you've got to come out with?
Yeah, I think he's right. It's edge. I mean, we talked about it on our show, like the drop off from edge compared to the cornerbacks is a lot steeper than. So, I mean, you definitely need both for sure. Cause you haven't had a CB2 really since AJ Terrell's been here, like a really good CB2.
No, not a solid one.
Mm-hmm. No, not a solid.
Not a consistent one. How about that?
Not a consistent one. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like you had Casey Hayward for a little bit, but like obviously he got, you know,
exactly.
Got injured.
Yeah. So, I mean, it would be really nice to snag one of those guys because there's a lot of CB1s that we could be drafting as a CB2. You know, maybe if we trade back, a different scenario, trade back in the first round, maybe even there in the second round. Who knows? But yeah, the edge. Because clearly, like we said, I mean, like there's not a ton of guys left on the free agent board. That's, I mean, obviously, I would love to have Bud back. Calais would be nice. But as far as a really, like, you know, dominant or alpha type of edge rusher. We don't have that. We haven't had that in a long time. So you hope one of those top three guys is that, you know, whichever flavor you like, you know, you hope that guy's that guy. But, I'm always for offensive line too. Like, you know, I mean, these tackles aren't getting any younger. That's got to be addressed soon, man, especially when you don't have as mobile a quarterback back there. So,
right. Berto, posing the same question to you. You're like, what is your number one? We're setting the draft board needs. We got the big whiteboard up. Number one with a bullet. What do you think we got to come out of this draft with?
Oh, man. Edge primarily, corner second, and I'll throw defensive tackle in there as well as number three. Mm-hmm. And I'll start with defensive tackle. You know, we have to take into account that our two defensive tackles are up there in age, right? And Grady also coming back from a major knee injury. We can't run these guys to the ground. You know, this defense is now going to be predicated on fast and physical. While those guys, you know, fit that mantra, I'm not a fan of wearing it out. I want a healthy rotation behind those guys. What is Taquan Graham going to bring to the table? He really hasn't shown much. So what does he actually have left? He was drafted on newly found 3-4 defense under Dean Pease. Didn't really show much. So we're kind of going back to that. But what can Coach Ron Jimmy Lake get out of him? That's a question mark. So I still feel like defensive tackle should be one of the top three positions that we, you know, as the draft board lines up, should be on there, you know, prominently. Cornerback again, and great point. You know, we haven't had a steady running mate with AJ, and contractually, we don't know what avenue we're taking with AJ as well. So you got to keep that in mind as well. You know, could we be drafting his replacement if they can't see eye to eye on, you know, on a long-term deal? You know, there's a contract that was handed out not too long ago to L'Jarius Sneed, and that's, you know, AJ could come somewhere in that, maybe a little bit below that. But again, those are meetings that we'll have sometime soon. And Edge, of course, you know, John, you mentioned it, you know, days of John Abraham, those are like, what, 12 years? It's like,
yeah,
it's like, dude, you know, I brought this up on my show, like out of the edge position over the last 9 years, the Falcons have had only 66 and a half sacks. And that's primarily from Vic Beasley and Tack McKinley. Two guys that aren't even in the league anymore. I must say,
Vic Beasley's over there kicking around in the UFL right now.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, like sad in a sense. You know, this was a guy who we all were jumping, you know, pumping our fist about. This was going to be, you know, our guy. And you know, same deal with Tack McKinley. You know, we were excited about the semi-crazy mentality. But all we got were busted shoulders, you know.
That was crazy.
Yeah, busted slogans and a bunch of nothing. So, I mean, even so for Edge, I wouldn't be surprised if Atlanta double-dipped into that pool a la what they did, I think, in 2013 when they drafted, you know, Trufant and Rocky Alford, you know, double-dipped at that cornerback position. It's a position that definitely needs to be nailed and hammered down finally because it's way long overdue. So, yeah, that's how I would address the draft board. Edge, corner, defensive tackle.
There you go. And I feel like I'm in that same boat, you know, of like edge is obviously like something that we've been sorely lacking for, you know, quite a while. Obviously we have all felt that, but something I've been looking in here the last couple of days is the defensive tackle position. Because coming from LA with Aaron Donald, maybe they feel like, hey, if we really get a fire breather coming out the middle, that will help, you know, the edge guys, like depending on, cause they just got the production that they got out of Kobe Turner and Bryant Young. Mm-hmm. Both those guys were third round picks, I believe. Mm-hmm. And they may feel like because they had such a force in the middle that everybody had to worry about, could have potentially opened up avenues for those guys. Yeah, I think number one with a bullet is, I would say, like D-line. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever you feel like, and, you know, because I put out a tweet earlier this morning after watching a few little clips, you know, like one or two games worth of – I'm gonna get the name right here because apparently I was corrected on Twitter because apparently he prefers to be called Johnny Newton, even though his name is – Jershawn, or or Drayshon, or yeah, I don't know. It's Jershon.
Johnny, same thing.
I mean, whatever, you know. like what am I? Who am I to say, right? Everybody is well documented on this show. I am horrible with names, okay? I was given the most generic name in the world, JR, and since then, one of my best friends is named John. The other one down there is named John. So, I mean, this I'm not good with names. What do you want from me? Anyway, but watching him, like, he was, like, compared to not obviously not highly touted as Aaron Donald, but in that same mold of type of defensive tackle. And after watching a few of his games, that if that dude played on Alabama, we'd be screaming that he should be a top 10 pick. Or Georgia or whatever, because if you compare like his production to a Trayvon Walker's production, you know, from say last year, through the roof, better, you know, I think he was hurt, so he didn't perform in the combine, and I don't think that's helped him any, he's a guy who's intriguing. Same with, Byron Murphy. The D tackle out of Texas.
Yep.
Yeah, you talk about double dipping, man. We could do like a teammate draft, right? Yeah. You could grab Byron Murphy in the first round and Tevon Sweat in the second round. And plug them next to each other again. You could do the same deal with Latu.
Mm-hmm.
And later on in the draft, get Gabriel Murphy. Right.
I think you pointed that out, man. Every time you watch the film on Latu, Murphy just kept popping.
Yeah.
Who is this other guy, man? Yeah. And like, UCLA, the way, yeah, they kept you, they used him, you know, they used him well. Let me just put it like that. So a tweener, you know, defensive end, defensive tackle. And he made noise on either side that they used him on. So I was like, oh, man, shit. But to your point, man, drafting the pair. I mean, Philly did it. Philly has done it every year. Pairing somebody from Bulldog UGA teams.
Yeah.
Well, so
they're always drafting.
It could happen.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you could do Verse and Fisk.
That was another one. You could grab Verse in round one and Fisk in round two. You know, and those guys, like, we talk a lot of times about like timing and rhythm with a quarterback and a wide receiver, but we never talk about like the timing and rhythm between like TN stunts.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you want a pair of guys who are used to the way the other guy moves, and that could be a way to generate like instant production.
Mm-hmm.
Man, no, we just talked about on Sunday, like, we're really lucky because our draft big board needs very deep in all those positions. I mean, like, I don't want to say, you know, we can't miss, but damn, it'd be really hard if we miss on one of these guys, because there's so much talent at the end, at D line, at cornerback, wide receiver. If you want to go, even, I mean, like, there's so much talent there. It would be really, really tough if we, you know, yes, I know it's the Falcons, but I mean, it'd be tough if we missed on that, man. I mean, really.
Like if we were to trade back and get either an extra, like, for example, if we trade back to Minnesota because they maybe McCarthy falls to 8, they really want McCarthy, we go back to 11 and get their 26 or whatever it is,
yeah, the thing is
26. To move up, you go and pick Latu, Turner, Verse, whichever one you want. My second pick, honestly, at 23 might be it's either a cornerback or it's maybe Braden Fisk, because I love that, like, what I've seen of that kid, I really, really like. And then if I don't go cornerback there and we go with two first and then a second, in the second I may be looking at TJ Tampa. Like, that's the guy that I'm looking at.
So. Yeah.
Go ahead, Berta.
Yeah, going back to Fisk though, man. He blew up the combine and of course, you know, he, When you're doing that, you know, you catch a lot of the eye. You know, you're like, oh man, let's dig a little bit more into this kid. So Fisk, I saw a lot of him. He blew up the middle, but he reminded me, if you guys remember Justin Smith from Cincinnati,
yeah.
And then he went to San Francisco. you know, just was really limited because of the arm length, but everything else he did right, man, like set up the defensive tackle, defensive end stunts, you know, was just a mauler in the run game, and he offered as a pass rusher. Brandon Fitz, just he offers that, and he's what, 6'4", 6'5". Skids a, you know, he's a load, man. So yeah. Brandon Fitz, you know, he's an intriguing prospect and could very well fit, you know, what the Falcons are planning to do out front. So I wouldn't be mad at that if we in a trade scenario in the 20s. He's available. He's there. Run to the board, man, and run to the podium. Hand that card.
And don't, yeah. Dang. Completely agree, because there are still, you know, a lot of somebody. Okay, it was King up here earlier. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Let's see. Ah, not going to be able to find it. Okay, yeah. You know, King says, you know, didn't Terry say we're not going to get backed into a corner? And this is the reason why I brought up the draft big boards, because with a little less than a month out, there are still what I would consider to be, you know, some glaring needs that we didn't address, even if it was with like mid-level replacement guys in free agency, like we have been able to do in the past. Now, if Goldman truly returns, that kind of maybe takes a little bit of pressure off on the D tackle, but how much trust can you really put in that to a guy who hasn't taken a snap in 2 years? Mm-hmm. So, like, I still don't remove that as being a need because of, you know, the fact that, you know, he's still unknown in that aspect. So we've talked about three right off the rip that all three of us were able to name without much pause. And that was, you know, edge, D tackle, and cornerback. Mm-hmm. So that really puts in, you know, Terry into position like, okay, look, we got to come out with this. Mm-hmm. And that's, I wonder, like, how well he's going to, like, maneuver in there and how well he's going to be able to react.
I would still rather be where we're at with Kirk as opposed to have not taken Kirk and be in that boat.
Well, like, yeah, right.
Then you're relying on, like, so many things above you have to go right to get one of those top QBs, and you're, you know, it's just at least that's taken care of. Like, at least and we have definitely have multiple needs, but like we just said, I mean, it's extremely deep, and now that you never can fully project what's going to happen in the next level, but it's, you know, those guys are there, you know, that can really fit a need this year and, you know, down the road. I mean, you could get legitimately 3 to 5 starters out of this draft. I mean, and potentially, right. I mean, and that's, you know, not necessarily this year, but like your guys that can work to that level. And that's, if you can do that in any draft, that's a win for any team.
I don't know there, Josh. He says, Rich McKay also said we would spend more this off season than last year. We did, didn't we?
Like, I mean, we ain't got much left. We got
$6 million in cap space now, yeah. And that's only because Tyler Heinicke was like, "Yes, I will take a pay cut to stay here and not be homeless."
I'm overpaid. I'm very overpaid. Oh, I will take a cut. I understand.
Oh man, I got a quick question for you guys.
Too. I sucked last year. I got it. Okay, good.
What's up, Berto?
So we talked edge, corner, defensive tackle, and those three positions. Do you feel like any one of those groups are deeper in this class where you can address it later on in like mid rounds?
Probably cornerback.
Yeah, I was going to say corner, because you got, you know, like Jonathan brought up, you got TJ Tampa. There's the Rake Shaw kid out of Missouri that I've heard his name bandied back and forth. If you look at the defensive tackle position, especially if you're looking for like a penetrating three tech, you've got, you know, Fisk, and you've got Murphy from Texas. You've got there's a handful of them. The Carter from Duke, Michael Hall from Ohio State. So there's a handful there. And I think honestly, like, one of the deeper positions is offensive lineman. So I wouldn't be surprised if we grab, you know, an offensive lineman in the second or third round to maybe prepare for letting McGarry walk or cutting McGarry next year if they're not happy with his play, or, you know, getting ready for, you know, Jake Matthews to ride off in the sunset.
Yep. Agreed.
Nice. Yeah, I like the defensive tackle position. You mentioned a lot of great names. I'll throw in another one. Brendan Dorlus out of Oregon is another tweener there. He's going to wreak hell. Christian Boyd out of Northwestern, the Northwestern Panthers. Yeah, I think that's HBCU. But he was a handful at the Senior Bowl. So there is a lot of intrigue, a lot of option there. So, all right, so you guys feel, you know, defensive tackle is probably the deepest out of the core, or cornerback is the deepest in this class.
Because I mean, you can still get. I mean, you can get. Like, I wouldn't be angry with a Darius Robinson or something like that. At the end of the first, if we come back up, if we say we address it reverse or something like that. But yeah, I think with edge, it's like it's tough because you have to, with edge, it's like you have to bet on those high end traits. Like, you have no choice. Like, that's pretty much all you can go off of. It's like, and it's and that doesn't always translate. But I mean, that's what you just have to go on and hope that and cross your fingers that it hits in that first round, because obviously we've been burned before with it. But I mean, these top three guys, like, they, I can understand an argument for every one of them. Like, honestly, if we want any of those guys, I'm happy with it. I mean, I can understand it.
Like, the big knock with like Latu, who right now this week has been the favorite on the timeline, is like one of the bigger knocks on Latu is that he doesn't set a hard edge. And that, he can get bullied easily in the run game, especially at the NFL level. And he does have a, bevy of moves, but they're all like finesse moves. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have a ton of power to his game. And we have seen what, strictly finesse players, how they tend to pan out in the league. For every one Von Miller, you get a million Vic Beasleys, but I will say this a lot too. He's got some ridiculous bend to him. Like, he's got some elite bend. Like, he's got, like, when you watch that hula hoop drill,
His ankles are ridiculous.
We're going to go ahead and call it. I'm not the most athletic. I know y'all are shocked to hear that. I know, Jonathan. I know. Like,
but it fooled me.
right. Exactly. Y'all meet me in person, and it's like, of course this guy's a physical specimen. But if I were to try to bend like that, holy Pete, man, you'd hear snap, crackle, pop, and I'd be on the ground and just laying there. So a man that size should not be able to bend like that, right? But then you have like the Dallas Turners, who are like physical freaks, but you don't know if that's going to, translate.
That's the point.
So
yeah, each one of them have their own thing. Each one of them has their own like deficiency or their own worry, if you want to call it, that you're concerned about, and that's what's tough. And I was when I rated them myself, like I hadn't watched as much on Verse as I probably should have. I went back and watched more on Verse the last couple of days. Now I'm higher on Verse than I was originally, just because, just raw power is what he's going to give you.
Yeah. Where Latu has the bend, Verse has the power. It's been quite a while since I've seen a guy sack a quarterback with his left tackle.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll even see Dallas with his, like, and y'all know me being a Bama guy, like, so I've watched every game of his career, right? I've seen him, like, he's his first year, speed was pretty much it. Then he started developing a cross chop and a long arm and stuff like that. He started actually developing some moves, He was still, and that's the thing, like, with edges in college, a lot of times they can win with just one move.
Right.
Like on a lot of tackles, not the elite tackles, but like the okay tackles, they can win on just their basic move. So they're the biggest challenge to them going to the league is, okay, now you have to add your counter moves, and how good are your counter moves, So like, he started adding sophomore, junior year, and you saw him against Georgia. I mean, he basically long armed left tackle straight into the quarterback, so it was like, and he's got that there too. It's just like, he has his weight. Obviously you'd like him to, add a few pounds to get up to, maybe 260, somewhere in that range. But I've seen the Vic Beasley all over the thing. They're just different guys. They're different. Yeah, guys.
They win differently. So
they win differently. On, yeah, they're both athletic guys, but they're not the same guy.
Like, well, the biggest detriment Vic Beasley ever had was he just didn't love football.
Correct.
Yeah, like, that was like,
he just didn't have the passion for it. If he had that dog in him, then he probably could have been a, you know, if not a great one, he could have played in this league for many years, being anywhere between 8 to 12 sack guy for many years. Mm-hmm. But he just didn't have that passion in him. I don't feel like that's a Dallas Turner issue.
I don't think that's any issue for either one of the top three edge rushers. The question is going to be so if nobody picks up the phone and calls you at 8, are you okay with taking, you know, a Dallas Turner, a Latu, or a Verse at 8? That's, you know, because a lot of the like talking heads, a lot of the consensus of, you know, this year, because I haven't had the same amount of time to watch all the film myself, I've spent a little bit more time listening to guys like Nate Tice and Robert Mays at The Athletic talk, and you know, some of the guys over at the Draft Network talk, and you know, the guys who they do this for a living, so to speak, you know. Mm-hmm. And the general consensus has those guys grouped, all three of those guys grouped in like the mid-teens.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, actually, is that right? So how does like Terry's board stack up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's obviously, we're not going to be privy to that, but it's something that we have to consider ourselves.
And yeah, and you wonder how that top seven falls, because if it falls a certain way, then you'll almost certainly have teams trying to come up, whether to get a quarterback, whether to get one of those receivers,
or to even get a Joe Alt,
or to get a Joe Alt,
or a you know, whoever the next offensive tackle, mm-hmm. there's like the kid out of Oregon.
Fuaga.
Out of
Oregon. Yeah.
Fuaga.
Yeah, Fuaga, man. Fuaga manhandled
Latu,
yeah, Latu could do nothing.
That was a film. Oh my God, man.
Yeah, yeah.
John would know this because I've talked to John a lot. I've talked Joe all so long. And the minute that we signed Kirk Cousins, I was like, okay, offensive tackle has to be draft choice number one. You have to protect that $180 million investment. But like you said too, the first seven fall, you know, it's who knows, man. If one of those elite players drop and is a team froggy enough that wants to make a leap, maybe like Las Vegas or even Minnesota or the Jets, you know, to go ahead and want to take 8 off of our hands, the Falcons should definitely, because you stand to better the roster with more picks, obviously.
Absolutely.
And are able to just address more needs for now and for the future. And with future, I'll ask you guys, do you guys use any of those extra picks if we do draft? I mean, if we do trade out to take a quarterback possibly? You know, in that first or second round, I know there's a lot of hype with Penix, you know, and his name has been linked to Atlanta, but his name now after his pro day, he's been linked to everybody so far.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, you know, because the thing is, yeah, Kurt's coming off that massive injury, and we don't really have a solid backup, you know, per se. Taylor Heineke's not the future. We all know that.
I won't tell
Mike. When is it the right time? Uh-oh. Mike, I love you, man. but when will it be the right time to draft a quarterback of the future? Is he here now, or do we wait till next year? Next year's class is not all too inspiring.
Yeah, no, I agree that next year's class, as of right now, sitting here before mm-hmm. we draft this class, isn't all inspiring, but that can change rapidly.
True.
But I mean, you're all in on Kirk right now. Mm-hmm. Like, you're 100%. All in on Kirk this year, and you're mm-hmm. definitely all in on Kirk next year. For like the way everything is structured, you're not moving off of Kirk at least until like after the third year, I think it is. Or is 30. It after?
You could do after the second year.
You can mm-hmm. after the second year, but it would be like, a little costly. But you could
either way, like you're all in on the Kirk Cousin experience for the next 2 years.
For sure.
And possibly 3 years. And so at that junction, you need to give him every opportunity to win. So if you pick up an extra first, like Jonathan was talking about earlier, in the like potential Minnesota trade, like you use that to bolster the team. Like, even if, like, in that scenario, you wanted to pick an offensive tackle that you say, okay, go battle with McGarry and then potentially take over for Matthews in a year or two or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't see, honestly, I don't see where you can hope for development at this junction. You know, we'll see if Jordan Love can continue to develop, but that recipe doesn't necessarily work in a modern NFL. Like, back in the day, sure, right? But you got to win now and win quick, and especially with the moves that you've made this offseason, right?
Yep. Yeah, so, I agree. I think you wait till later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, would I like to have Penix here? Sure.
I mean, I ain't going to be mad, but
I would like to have him here. But I'll say, and I've said this for quite a few weeks now, anytime it's brought up, like, if they want to wait to like the third, fourth round, if he's still there, and pick up, say, a Spencer Rattler to sit behind him, to try to like learn the NFL game behind a competent quarterback with competent offensive coaches, we assume they are going to be that, then I would not be mad about that. They kind of like take a flyer on him, see how it works out. And then if things like, because they're going to see him day in and day out throughout the course of the season, and they'll get a better read on him through that. And if it just doesn't seem like he's going to be the guy after, you know, that you maybe want to look to for the future, then you maybe look at it next year. And if you get a chance to get a guy that could be a guy that you feel can sit for another year or two, then fine. But I don't see that there's any rush to it.
Now, here's a bit of insider news there, speaking of like draft type stuff. Chris, our buddy out there in Oregon, says the Falcons spent a lot of time with Kyrie Jackson at the Oregon Pro Day, according to a player's parent who was on site. So I don't have – now, didn't Kyrie Jackson start in Alabama?
Oregon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so did you have any, like, prior knowledge of him? I don't have a ton.
Just a big corner. He's a big physical corner. Yeah.
Oh, 6'4", like, right?
6'4", I think. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. He's a beast.
6'4", dude. Yeah. He's huge, man.
he's a beast. I haven't made it to corners yet because, like, that's my least experienced, like, I mean, watching them do that, I'm like,
For me, like, yeah, after your Tarion, Quinyon Mitchell, like Kool-Aid, like he's that next right below.
That, like he's like, in that next like, that
tier
next
two
tier
of the CBs, yeah. For okay. me, at least, yeah.
He could turn and run, but that's a guy that you can probably flirt with being a safety also.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Next 6'4", 194.
Yeah,
okay. Sure.
Yeah, you could if you wanted to. But his calling card is probably just corner strictly.
I got you. But
I really don't see. Sorry, I mean, it hit you off the drawer. But I really don't see us. Like, I know, Jonathan, you were talking about Richie as safety. Like, I don't see the start of the season with Richie as strong safety.
No.
I mean, I just think it's been. There's too much on him now. Like, we've seen who he is. I don't think he's going
to
get
just
any
that,
better.
Like, maybe you might have been able to do that had Jerry Gray moved on.
Right.
But with Jerry Gray pretty much running the secondary last year, and by the end of the season, DeMarco Helms had taken, you know, Richie's job. Yeah. I would be surprised, I guess, if.
And I was Richie guy. Like, oh, I was waiting on him to just like be that guy we saw at Central Florida, and it just didn't happen. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just tough.
We'll see. Y'all want to do a quick 4-round mock? What do you think?
Let's do it, man.
Let's do a 5-round mock.
5-round? Oh, my man.
5-round. Go
5-round. We're going to push it to 5 this time. All right, let's see here. Let's do this with bam. There it is. Okay, here we go. All right. Chat, we need y'all to get involved here. I'm gonna move this banner so it ain't all up in the way. Now we can see Berto's pretty face. There we go.
Yay! I like it.
Willie Dog says, mock, mock, mock.
For Willie.
It's that time of season. All right, we're going to do a 5-round mock. We're going to go fast, and we're picking as the Falcons. Now, for all y'all who have never used this mock draft simulator before, this is Pro Football Network, and they have done a thing now to where you can have a bunch of people join your mock as different teams, which I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So,
JR, I used this on Bleacher Report the other day on Thursday. It is the hardest one to draft. I mean, excuse me, to make trades. So I tried to trade out of eight, you know, just to try to facilitate a trade. It wouldn't have let me. Everything was rejected. I'm like,
oh no,
hell, man.
All right, so
we've already got an offer,
but we got one. Yeah, yeah.
And well, we got four offers.
An enticing one.
Oh wow. Yeah.
Well, let's see here.
Let's go.
Make this a little bit bigger so everybody can see. Everybody can see good now.
Yeah.
All right. So. First one up is the Jets. Okay. They're giving us 10, 72, and then a second next year. Or, second next year.
All right.
Miami, 21, 55, 158, a second and a third.
That's a lot. That's a lot. That's
a lot. What it comes to 21? L.A.
Oh, do they even have picks?
Right. First year they've had them in 5 years.
Yeah, they're going to get rid of them.
I mean, I'm surprised they have any to give because wasn't that whole thing like F them picks?
Oh, yeah, they're still F them picks.
Yeah, yeah.
Pick 19, 52, a second, and a third.
Damn.
And then last one, Pittsburgh, 20, 51, second, and a fifth. So how far back do we want to go?
Wow.
Jets?
I'm thinking that's probably the best one. You still want to be in that cream of the crop of
right. That still gets talent. You. That still gets you right in the top 10.
Mm-hmm. Seeing Joe Alt is going five.
Well, yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Joe Alt going to Harbaugh.
That's a Harbaugh marriage.
Yeah, that's a Harbaugh all day long.
Yeah.
So we're thinking Jets. Dr. Ganja's. He's champion Jets. Mm-hmm. King says I'd go with the Jets, but. Give them for something for their second also. So you want to try to counter. Let's see. What does a counter give us? Doesn't look like they have a second. They don't have
a second.
They don't have one.
All right. So we'll go back then. Ah, crap.
Confirmed. Who's 11 through, who's 11 through 20? What teams are drafting 11 through 20? Let's see.
Hold on. I done messed up. Where did they go? Proposed? Nope. Where's my trade offer? There it is. All right. So 11 through 20.
Yeah.
11 is obviously the Vikings.
Vikings. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't like, I don't think I want to go back to 21.
No, I mean, 19 would be about as far as I would go with that.
That was LA.
Yeah. That'd be about as far because I was going to see like what their needs were.
So that gives us 52. Everybody's so 11, saying,
Broncos is 12. They need a quarterback. Raiders 13, Saints 14, Colts 15, Seattle, Jacksonville, then Cincinnati.
Mm.
So do we think one of those top three guys edges is going to be going to one of those teams basically?
Yes, I don't think I want to fall any further than 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the chat agrees. And we're going to accept this offer because this is one of the first drafts in a long time that I'm like, we really need to try to trade out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is one we can do.
Agreed.
So, all right. So, well, now LA's trying to, I ain't worried about it. Well, I don't know. 31? No.
Oh, definitely not.
Hold on. So, John was saying he didn't want to go any further than 19. That would give us 19 and an extra second. So we'd have 2 seconds and 2/3.
You just risk losing the guy you made.
Yeah, no.
That's the only thing you risk.
I think I want to stick here. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to stick here. We're going to reject these. All right, so on the board, J.J. McCarthy. There's your quarterback of the future. There you
go. Get him. Pick him.
Romo Dunze. Tyrion Arnold. Latu still on the board.
Look at that.
Verse is still on the board.
Quinyon Mitchell.
Mitchell's still on the board. So we go on Edge. Like we've kind of identified that as our number one. So it's a battle between what appears to be, did somebody take Turner?
Yeah Turner
was the Bears.
Turner. Oh. Okay. So it's a battle between Latu and Verse. Power versus Finesse.
Hit the little clipboard next to Verse for me.
All right. Verse 6'3", 254. He's a bolt of lightning off the snap who immediately stresses tackles with the vertically to the apex. It's got some good draft jargon in here. High octane, hyperactive athlete. He does have some burst, and he's got power. And the thing that I think with Verse is he's out the box a better run defender.
Yeah, he's really good against the run. He's not spoken of highly enough, man. He's a good one, man. He's a complete, edge, man.
He's the best run defender of those edges for sure, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's Latu or Verse. If it was Latu Turner, I'm saying go Latu. But Verse in there, it kind of throws a wrinkle into it because Verse does offer a lot.
You almost have to look at it like with the coaches that we have, who can pull the most out of what their deficiencies are.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, I mean, Latu hasn't shown that power, but he's a big athletic guy.
He's a big athletic guy.
That's something that he could develop. Is that something he could, you know, hey, like, you know, dude, you don't have a bull rush. Let's work on this bull rush. Let's work on these hands. You know, is that something that we could do? Is it tougher to teach Verse this, you know, these hand mechanics and everything that Latu's got going on?
Right.
So, well, see, Latu like, just has it, man.
Both of them turn 24. What you got, Chris? Are you pointing to Dr. Ganja saying Verse ain't covering the flats?
That's another point. Yeah. And because of the scheme.
Yeah. Depending on what you're going to ask them to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, all right.
Latu had two interceptions last year for UCLA, too. So that kind of speaks volumes.
I think we're floating toward Latu, guys.
Yeah.
The biggest problem I have is, you know, you hear a guy like Jared Verse or even Turner, who, again, I think it's easier to teach a guy a bull rush move than it is to teach guys essentially boxing to become a finesse boxer.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
And so to just be like, hey, you need to like sink your hips, get up under that guy and push him. And that's really what it comes down to, like getting under a guy.
Right.
You
know? Okay. Yep. So it sounds like we're going a lot too, because even King's talking about Verse overshoots and all you reminds him too much of Tack. So, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Latu it is. And away we go.
Hell yeah.
That's right. On to number. All right. Pick number two.
I saw TJ Tampa go.
Yeah. I saw that.
Now, too. Are we going to entertain trading past the first round? Because I think you just kind of stick a pick. So. I would imagine.
Yeah, no. Okay.
All right. So we're going to reject that. All right. Byron Murphy.
Byron Murphy. Michael Penix is available too.
Oh no! Michael Penix is available.
Oh man.
Vondre Sweat is sitting there at 41 for our pick at 43. Now, let's see. Okay, we didn't pick up an extra second rounder this time.
No.
Could we argue that drafting Sweat in the second round is overdrafting because he's a two down player?
Yeah, he is a two down.
Yeah, I'd be more comfortable with Murphy for sure, but I'm surprised Murphy's still here at 43, to be honest with
you.
I'm definitely down with Murphy. Like you put him in there.
Yeah. What corners are even on the board still? I saw Kamari Lassiter, but he's more of a nickel to me. Like,
all right, so corner, you got Lassiter.
Yeah. There he is. Oh, Rayshaw.
Melton.
He's a dog, man.
Melton is a dog.
Yeah. Kalen. These guys seem like round three picks.
Oh, who's that? Melton?
Yeah, Max Melton, Rakeshaw. Mm-hmm. Maybe Rakeshaw
Rakeshaw can go in the second, man.
Yeah,
I think he's going to keep moving up. I think he'll be moving up people's boards. Yeah. I think you can't. It'd be tough to pass on Murphy.
Oh, Murphy, because now you're covering two needs off the bat. You know, you take the edge in Latu, you take the interior guy and Murphy. Yeah, you know, of course, and people knock him because of his size. But
yeah, I was about to say it's 6 foot, 297, but very explosive interior. And coming from, you got to think, coming from L.A., where you just had, like I said, I know these guys aren't Aaron Donald. I understand that.
We have a 6 foot guy that's kind of this size, you know what I mean? He's pretty decent.
So, do you plan for do you take Byron Murphy and that way you can keep Grady on a pitch count?
That's the thought. I think that would be the thought right there. Keep Grady fresh, rotate him, put him on a pitch count, let the new guy come in and do the brunt of the work, man. So,
and then that way you have a, you know, 2-3 years from now when, like, Grady's ready to hang it up because Grady's 30, 31. Mm-hmm. Like, you already have that on the board. So, Millie Mills wants to know what wide receivers are on the board.
Millie Mills is in the house.
Oh, yeah. Millie's always hanging out with us. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We got the Troy Franklin. And then we got
Malachi Corley, man. That's D-Boy 2.0 right there.
And then Leggett. Mm-hmm. Now, here's one of my dudes right there, Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, I like him too.
He's probably the best fit for this offense.
Yeah, you talk about a natural separator through route running.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Ricky Pearsall is, to me, he's on the same. Now, granted, this other guy's getting a lot more love, which deserves it. But to me, I group him right there with Ladd McConkey in the, technical, using routes to get open type guy.
Well, I think what's our next pick? Is it 72? So
72 is our next pick. Yeah.
Yeah. I think one of these guys will be there for that.
You think one of these guys?
I think so. I'd be comfortable with that.
Yeah. All right. I think we secure the interior and take Byron.
You think Byron too good to pass up?
I mean, especially if they're ranking him at 26, most people are looking at him as probably a first round guy, and he's somehow there at 43. It is a need. Not necessarily today, but it's a need for securing the future.
Marcus Bell's asking what safeties are on the board. Cameron Kitchens, Bo Braid, Cole Bishop, and Javon Bullard. Those guys, I think you could get one of those guys in the third round. We could have that conversation.
Even Jaden Hicks, excuse me.
Yeah, Jaden Hicks, Tyke Smith. So, yeah, those are some guys that I think we could still grab a safety in the third round. Mm-hmm. I'm still thinking that we need to go Byron Murphy. I think that's insane value
right there.
Yeah.
Hold on. For the haha, what's left at edge? Is Darius Robinson there?
Braswell, Chris Braswell, Braylon Trice. Okay.
Oh, my God, Dorless.
Yeah, Dorless is still there. Nealon.
If you like Chris Braswell, too. I know, shocking. Probably.
Oh, Marshawn Nealon.
I know. I liked Braswell.
Because
he's Alabama.
Nealon, what's crazy, and this will go into this a little bit more if we get around to doing the best of the rest series. What I watched of Marshawn Nealon, what I found kind of crazy, because look, pull up his clipboard. He's 6'3", 267, and this guy was roaming around the line. They sometimes have three down linemen, and he was just kind of moving around, doing different things. He went out in coverage and
yeah, he was like, he was
he the brought one, the pain,
right? He's definitely a guy who at a smaller school, it don't take you long to find him. Don't need to know his number. You just put on the Western Michigan tape, and it'll take you about three plays on the defense to go, okay, that's Nealon.
That's true.
Yeah, he just looks like he doesn't belong there. So, all right, let's go with Murphy, and we're going to keep moving. Because I think it's just too good a value to pass up on.
Did I just see it, Frisk?
Did you see it, Frisk?
Hello.
I thought I saw
Leggett go.
Yeah, Brandon Frisk right there. Damn it.
Yeah. Leggett.
Oh, Leggett.
Yeah,
and Parsons.
Oh, Roman Wilson and Pearsall. Son of a gun.
Damn. maybe they won't be available there. Then.
Maybe they won't. Let's see. Well, Jalen McMillan. He's not a bad Neither is I've heard good things about Malik Washington and Jameer.
Jamar Thrash is good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Jermaine Burton, is not a bad option.
I think we've got three third round picks. I know we got 72 and 74, and then we got 79.
We can have some fun here.
Mm-hmm. Corner.
Let's see what we got. Cornerback. Chris Abrams, Durain.
No.
DJ James.
I don't mind Green.
Yeah, Green.
Yeah.
Of that crew.
Right. And
there's Kyrie Jackson. There's
Kyrie Jackson and Cam Hart.
Yep. So by the looks of that, Kyrie will be there in the next couple of picks. By the looks,
right. So we should be okay there. Safety wise, Javon Bullard, Cole Bishop.
Here we go.
Jaden Hicks.
I like
Bullard.
I like anybody from the Utah defense. They tend to have pretty good defensive players coming out of there.
Everybody's asking some of them are asking who's left in the DB room. So I think we just covered that.
Offensive tackle. See what's
available.
Oh man, Amadaji. Yeah.
Amadaji.
Yep, he's good.
Yep.
Javon Foster's good, but he looks like he'll be there 70, what, in our next book.
Yeah, we got three, right. So
yeah,
we can have some fun there. Let's see, offensive guard. Coleman
will probably be the guy.
Yeah, Brandon Coleman out of TCU. That's mm-hmm. what I was trying to see. Zach Zinter out of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it there on. Not even going to attempt that now.
No. Offensive guard is like a black hole for me. I'm just like,
oh yeah, yeah. Sure? And I actually don't think we would take an offensive guard. If we took anything, it would be a tackle. Because Dr. Gon is saying we're good at guard, right?
For sure.
With Bergeron last year and Lindstrom, obviously we're solid there. So if we did anything, it would be tackle. Mm-hmm. And maybe even wait till the fourth round with the
I don't think we're necessarily going to pick one up, but check tight end.
Ben Sinnott, I've heard his name quite a bit. Theo Johnson and Jared Wiley. Now I have a soft spot for Jaheim Bell.
Very athletic.
Just because he's a do it all,
mm-hmm.
Kind of guy, tight end, H back, running back. You could have some fun with him. If you wanted to get creative in that aspect. But those three guys, tight end wise, I would look at. I'm thinking probably wide receiver at this pick.
What's left at QB right now?
Right now. Spencer.
Yep.
And
so now Jordan Travis is there. Now he's probably not going to even have a chance to play this year.
I wonder if he's a guy that you could pick up as an undrafted guy. And
that'd be cool. Maybe. That'd be cool later round. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, so, yeah, that's what Josh Gilman just said. Yeah, maybe an undrafted free agent. Yeah. Like with his leg injury, he's a guy you could probably pick up. Let's see.
Which sucks for him because, man, he probably would have shot up the board. So,
yeah.
All right. What are y'all feeling?
I think it's either wide receiver or.
I'll be honest. I'm still fortifying the defense.
You still fortifying the defense?
I'm still fortifying the
defense. Oh, good Lord. Sweat's still there.
What?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Man, in no world is that going to happen.
Oh, my God. Brandon Dorlus is there for the take. And that's.
I would take Dorlus. I would take either Dorlus or Neyland.
All right, let's take Dorlus.
In there.
I like the inside out ability. Mm-hmm. So let's grab Dorlus.
Eat your heart out, Eagles.
That's right.
Eagles and freaking defensive line, baby.
All right, now do we want to grab? Do we even care to grab a wide receiver, or do we just want this to go? Like King's asking, who's the top guy overall right now? Is Javonte Sweat? It's like, do we just want this to like fortify the defense
we're get a whole defensive line right here.
Right. We're going to build a great wall of China.
Josh says, you have to take Sweat.
I was doing it way. Like,
imagine that. Yeah, dude, take Sweat.
Willie Doc says, Sweat. I'm like, all right, okay. All right.
Everybody say it.
All right.
Hilarious.
Now, you got Ben Sinnott, Cedric Gray at linebacker. Bo Braid, I don't know much about him, but Cole Bishop is still sitting there.
So, yep.
What's his
kid, man.
6'2", 206. He's one of the best safeties in the nation. He's a do-it-all talent, will line up everywhere from single high to two high to the line of scrimmage. His production reflects the fact that he is often everywhere the ball is. Sounds like a guy you want on your team.
That's pretty much me, too. I mean, like 6'2", 206. That's
is that you, John?
Similar
ass. Well, we could save some money and get John out there.
Oh, man.
I've been trying. I've been working workouts out there, and I've been waiting for that call. Somebody wants a 43-year-old safety for some reason.
For the record, I was never 6'2", but I was 206 at one point.
I might have been 206 in, like, the early part of high school, maybe. I don't know.
I don't think I've seen 206 since my late 20s.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Man.
Food is just way too tasty, Berto.
I'm with you, buddy. I'm with you, man. Heck yeah.
Quarterback-wise, we got Chris Abrams, Drain, DJ James, Ronaldo Green, Newton, Phillips, King, and then Kyrie. I think we could probably
still there, man.
I think we could probably hold till the fourth round on, on corner.
Yeah.
So
you almost have to take Sweat at this point.
Oh, we just we already did.
Oh, we already did.
Oh yeah, we took Sweat. And we took we took Sweat. We took Dorless.
That's right, Dorless. Yeah.
So do we give the offense some love here? And
Jalen McMillan is right there, man.
And perfectly matched up on the.
Look at that.
Let's see, 6'1", 197 able to play both slot and outside due to the 6'2", 200-pound frame.
Yep.
He's a move the sticks glue guy who makes the right makes play at the right moment. He's not overly twitchy or fast. Has enough juice to create space. And I heard it said that if you like Odunze, McMillan is 90% Odunze.
Wow.
I say you go, Jay. Well, that what you just read fits kind of what we need, to be honest. Because
that's
kind of
what I'm thinking, right?
Yeah, I mean, you've got Mooney as your two now, who's going to be right. Your
and who knows? Like, Rondale Moore is actually going to be like we know what we hope for him to be, but he's yet to show that consistently in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, I'm pulling the trigger. We're going.
It's bang,
bang. We got a wide receiver. All right, go away. All right, so now all. Austin Booker, who's a low-key name, edge rusher. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Demir Glaze out of Maryland. Andrew Phillips. Sorry, Mr. Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Let's look at straight up and down cornerback. Who's still there? Cam Hart and Kyrie Jackson.
Kyrie Jackson might be the guy there, man.
Either him or Cam Hart would be the guys I'd take.
6'3", 194. Cam Hart is 6'3", 202.
Mm-hmm.
Those both some big corners.
What about Kyrie Jackson? Go look at his what's his RAS.
Kyrie Jackson's RAS is 7.87. Mm. So decent. It's not bad.
Yeah.
No. Cam's is a little bit higher.
Yeah, Cam's is 8.9. So if you're looking for just an athlete,
that's your guy. Mm-hmm.
Cam might be the guy. But if we go with the insider report that we had earlier from our buddy Chris, then Kyrie Jackson might be the dude there.
And you wonder how much they value, at least the new squad, new regime values Phillips. Like do they see him more of an outside guy, inside guy? And you've got Alfred as well. Like, are they going to compete with each other for nickel? Yeah. Or it's like, that's because at this late in the draft, it's like, I don't know that you're getting CB2 at this point. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I don't think you're going to necessarily get day one CB2 right here.
Yeah.
So it might be CB2 by committee.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. CB2 by scheme.
Yeah.
Because last year they played Clark Phillips outside and inside.
Mm-hmm.
So it might be like a matchup situation.
Yeah.
So
I'll be honest. I'd be good with going cornerback here. I'm good with either Kyrie or Cam. Either one of those two guys, I'm okay with. If I had to pick one, because I don't know enough about him, but if I'm just looking at current information we have, I would probably take Cam just because he comes off as a better athlete, just overall athlete.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But other than that, I really don't have a dog in the fight between those two guys. So either whichever one.
Akella Witherspoon's still a free agency too.
Who is?
Akella Witherspoon's still a free agent. Yeah.
I feel like he's a guy that we're going to sign before to start a camp. I feel like.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Brown says it has to be cornerback right here. And Josh echoes cornerback or safety, while Willie Dock is saying Kyrie. So, for sake of argument, let's just go with Kyrie Jackson.
Let's do it.
We'll lean on the insider info from Chris earlier and say that they really like Kyrie. All right, okay. This will be our last pick, round 5. Oh, Trace Knight or Tyrese Knight.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm. That would be a nice one. Who's still left? In linebacker.
Nobody really worth. Yeah.
Eichenberg.
That's special teamers or,
Oh, yeah, yeah. This section, yeah. All right, so what value can we get here at this 5th round pick? Theo Johnson, the Penn State.
Oh, man.
And Jared Wiley.
Jared Wiley.
Yeah.
Marshawn Lloyd, if you feel like they're going to throw a running back in there at He's a fun little bowling ball.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, Jordan Jefferson, if you wanted to, another 313-pound defensive tackle.
He did better at West Virginia before he transferred to LSU.
Right.
There's Jaheim Bell.
Yeah, there's Jaheim Bell, my Swiss
Army knife. Is Christian Boyd still available?
Christian Boyd.
He's a defensive tackle. Oh, Jonah Ellis is still there.
Yeah, we can reunite him with his brother.
Why not? Luke McCaffrey, no way.
That's my guy. You want to talk about an athlete? You want to talk about an athlete?
In this one, man. Bloodline rules.
Oh, dude. Like,
in the family, man.
Dude, yeah. 6'1", 198. Like, ran faster than Christian at the combine.
Mm-hmm. Take him.
Like, I'd just be getting greedy here. Like, that's a me pick right there.
Like, do it.
That's what I got. Hey, do it. Get one, and it's in the
JR, round. This is your world. We just live in it, man.
Exactly. That's right. And on top of that, it's fifth round. It's not like you're expecting this. This guy doesn't – if he doesn't come in and blow things, you know, like light the world on fire day one.
Look what we've already done with the defensive line.
And also this would take the spot of, you know, the camp favorite Jared Bernhardt. You know,
we were all
hoping that he was going to be the, you know – weapon out of nowhere. All right, the chat's encouraging me. King Seven
do
says,
it, man.
"Let's get loose." Chris is like, "Do it." All right, fine. All right, if they were to draft Luke McCaffrey, out of like idiocy, I may just like buy a jersey because that would just be fun.
Wow, look at this.
Come on. You came out of the draft. You talk about a remade defensive line right there.
Completely
mm-hmm. remade. Yeah. Latu, Byron Murphy, Brandon Dorlus, and Trevante Sweat.
That's what I'm saying. It's so deep, it's hard to miss. Like, there's going to be mm-hmm. guys there. Like, you just have to make the pick. You know?
Yeah.
Don't mess it up, guys.
That's insane.
Doesn't this prove, like, you know, maybe drafting out of the top 10 an essential part to, you know, acquiring these guys like this? It would just definitely make sense. And I would feel comfortable if Atlanta just showed that in the past, like, oh, you know, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. We're not afraid to trade out of a certain position, but just don't give you that confidence because all they do is move up to go and get guys. They don't move back to acquire picks. So, I mean, in a perfect world, this is what we would want right here.
Oh, yeah.
Something that's going to solidify the defense because we know, you know, up front, it's, you know, sort of aging out. And these guys have come in and fit the build. It's like rotation one and rotation two with these guys being the draftees. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's the thing. 100%. Is like you can take what you started last year, even though mm-hmm. Ryan Nielsen has moved on. Like you can take what you did there and build on it. Mm-hmm. And with the way offensive free agency went, like it was heavy handed. You rebuilt the offense. And unfortunately, that didn't leave you much resources to rebuild the defense. Yeah. You know, like you said, you got right there, you have a replacement for Grady, Onyemata, and Eddie Goldman when he retires again.
Yeah.
Ouch.
And we came out with a second round pick next year that's probably going to be pretty high because the Jets are the Jets and they're just going to Jets it up.
Right. They are definitely going to Jets it up. You're not wrong about that.
That core that we just drafted, we got to remember we still have Zach out of Ohio State. You know, he came on strong late last year. So excited AK to see where. Yeah, AK too. So the trajectory there is there. It's going to be there.
And somebody asked, early on, we didn't really get to it because it didn't fit into the conversation. But somebody had asked early on about, you know, D'Angelo Malone. Like, with going back to this style of defense, D'Angelo Malone was kind of an odd man out last year with Ryan Nielsen. Now, he may find himself being able to get into the rotation. So, yeah, dude, that would be fun. And now I really wish the draft was tomorrow because that would be great.
Yeah.
Me too.
Baby. Can't wait.
Well, if either one of you guys want to show up, we're going to be doing live stream all day one and all day two of the draft. So
Man, y'all got an open invitation. All y'all got to do is just shoot me a message, and we'll definitely have a revolving door.
We should just do a big, massive cross stream.
We ought to. We really ought to.
Because I mean,
that'd be fun, man.
The guys from New Millennium obviously want to do it. You know, Fleek and Savion and whatnot. Can save so and those guys. We should just all do that because we can. Yeah. We can throw what 10 guys on the screen, 12 guys on the screen.
Something. I think we can. I can do 10 on mine. I'm pretty sure is the tier that we pony up for. But we'll work out those details and then have some fun. All right, well, I think that's going to pretty much do it for us tonight. We appreciate everybody who decided to stop by. We massively appreciate you two gentlemen for taking time out of your evening.
Absolutely.
Appreciate the invite.
Berto, tell folks where they can find you at, my friend.
Yes, 95 North Falcons Talk Show. That's the link on for YouTube. You can also find me on Bleacher Report. I'll be back April 9th. Doing another mock draft for Bleacher Report, dropping some Falcons content through there. I'll be on Bleacher Report exclusively from the 9th all the way through every week leading up until the draft with Bleacher Report. So hopefully you guys can stop by and just, you know, chat with me there, man. So looking forward to that opportunity.
John, tell folks where they can find you at, my friend.
Yeah, man, you can find Mike and I on Out of Your Falcon Mind on YouTube. You can follow us on Twitter, Out of Your Effing Mind there. And you can – Mike's about to get TikTok going again. He took about a month break just from social media in general. And but he just started posting some stuff. So he's pretty funny follow on TikTok if you guys
check that out. He's
so,
good.
Yeah, man. So and we're on IG as well, Out of Your Falcon Mind. I think he mostly does TikTok and, you know, tries to keep up that the best he can. But, yeah, we'll be – our live schedule is kind of all over the place recently. My kid plays baseball, so that's like nonstop. And then, Mike's schedule, my schedule. But we try to normally go live on Thursday nights. But it's either Tuesday nights after your guys' show because, we don't want to try to cross over there. But it's either Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock or Thursday nights around 8 o'clock. So, yeah.
There it is.
If you subscribe to the channel, you know, you'll be able to see it there. So, yeah, come on over. We'd love to have you.
John, tell folks where they can find Jonathan. Tell folks where they can find you at, my friend.
At Jonathan M. Holder. Come by, say hi.
There you go. As always, folks, I'm at Grim1128. That's GRIMM1128 on Twitter. Hopefully, me and Jonathan will be back with maybe the start of our Best of the Rest series. We'll see how this week. I'm going camping this weekend, so we'll see how all that goes. So maybe not. We'll figure it out. But if not, that'll be the first segment next week. Who knows? But we appreciate y'all. And as always, Falcons fans, rise up.
Rise up.
Peace.